Internationally recognized authority on global, economic, political, and social trends, author of numerous books. Most recently, The Coming of Neo-Feudalism, A Warning to the Global Middle Class. Before that, The Human City, Urbanism for the Rest of Us. Sounds like Festivus for the Rest of Us. Presidential Fellow and Director of the Center for Demographics and Policy at Chapman University, Senior Research Fellow at CIFIDUS, a think tank at the University of Texas at Austin, columnist for Canada's National Post, writer for Upheard, Spike, National Review, Real Clear Politics, LA Times, many other publications. We originally met about 20 years ago when he spoke at the UCSB Economic Forecast, and he's been kind enough to come on the program now and then. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Joel Kotkin.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Really appreciate it. You have written so much recently. California has passed all sorts of legislation to boost housing, but with little effect. Why?
Well, the main reason is that they don't basically change their policy. In other words, there's been about 200 laws passed, and the situation gets worse. And it's interesting how you could do that given that there's no population growth. And I think that the reason is that the state has its mentality that yes, oh, we want to build as much high density housing in urban cores as humanly possible. And we don't want to build suburban housing in the periphery. Well, the problem with that is A, the majority of the population wants that suburban housing on the periphery. B, the cost of construction and the cost of land in the core cities is just much too high. So what you end up with is what we've ended up doing is instead of building houses for families, we're building, one bedroom, $4,000 a month, one bedroom apartments for hipsters, which they can barely afford either. And we're certainly not doing anything for families, which is one reason why families have been leaving if they can.
I read about that periodically, about who's leaving, who's coming. Demographics was in your intro. You track this? Well, are people, I mean, they're not fleeing like some people want to make it sound, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we've lost net migration equal to the populations of Anaheim, San Francisco, San Jose, and San Diego. So I would say that's pretty good. We're not quite losing as rapidly as New York. What's interesting to me is that not so much the people leaving, because there's always some churn, but that nobody's coming. In other words, we're out near the bottom of people coming in relative to our population. So what's happening is, and it's interesting who's leaving. It's not a bunch of old folks who are, like unhappy Trumpistas in quasi-socialist California. That's not who's leaving. It's young families. It's people 35 to 54 making about 100 to 200 a year. Very good salary if you're living in Texas or Florida or and even Arizona. It's basically minimalist if you live in LA or San Francisco or San Diego. And so that's who's leaving. So essentially we're just in this weird situation where our population is going to continue to get older. The only people who can afford to stay are those of us who are lucky enough to buy our homes in the past. I bought my first home in 1980. I've bought three houses since then. The one I have now is very, very nice. Well, it's very, very nice because I made a lot of money on the other homes. The
But
next generation doesn't have that opportunity.
and but could you afford to buy your house today
No.
that you're living in? That's a
No.
standard
No.
California rule.
And
Why?
I only bought it. It's only 10 years ago. So we're not talking about, something I bought 40 years ago. That house has gone, let's just say, up by close to a million,
I mean, it's
and
doubled almost, and you're
almost doubled.
right.
Now, I can't tell because I haven't tried to sell it, but it's a pretty nice house.
Well, I want you to know I have an offer for your house that I'm going to email you after the interview.
Well, we're not going anywhere. I mean, because that's the other thing is one of the differences between California, let's say, and New York, is you're older and you're relatively well set. Why would you leave? We've got the best weather in the world. Your friends are here. Your church is here. Your synagogue's here. There's a lot to do culturally as long as a place doesn't completely fall apart. And that means if you live in West LA or you live in most of Orange County, it's still relatively civilized. And you and you know so you stay. So in New York and in the Northeast and in Illinois, you also have the factor that when people get to be 60, they say, I'm sick of this cold weather. Well, anyone who complains about the weather in Southern California really should, but really is a disgrace because you can't, it doesn't get any better.
My guest is Joel Kotkin, and an author. You know, if I'm interviewing a doctor or a lawyer or an economist, I would say economist. You're not. What is your title?
My title is I'm a writer, okay? Old-fashioned writer. We live in this world where, it's so funny when I'm putting books together, I'm doing an article, and increasingly academics are so narrow in their focus. If I ask them a question about demographics, they can't. And then I said, well, what about the economics? Oh, well, that's somebody else's field. I think the real task of a writer is to put together all the different elements, including the history. And that's the other thing, is a lot of the academics don't know any history either. And so, basically they're very narrow. They may know, women, women literature in the 17th century in Belgium. They probably know more about that than anybody in the history of the world. But if you ask them a broader question, I'm astounded how little you learn. So, this notion of specialization, I think, is a you know, it's one thing to have a anesthesiologist or a urologist, who's dealing with a very specific thing. But when you're dealing with societies and states, the broader your understanding, the better. And so, I never. I don't consider myself a technician. I consider myself a writer, hopefully somewhat of a thoughtful person.
A researcher.
Right. Well, right. And the people that I look back in history are saying, here are people who really had an impact. None of them were, PhDs with very narrow focus. That's generally not who writes great books. Great books are generally written by generalists because generalists know things. Plus, one of the big problems, of course, is that academic writing has become so dense and impossible to read that I mean, I know one, frankly, I'm a great beneficiary because I've been assigned books and articles that 20 years ago would have been written by a professor, and today they go to me because the professors either are very narrow ideologically, or they, let's just say, they don't write in a scintillating way.
I'd love to see you come back to UCSB, the economic forecast. You did a great job. Was that 20 years ago?
Yeah, 20 years. Yeah, I mean, the I actually, I haven't really talked to anyone from there in all this time. So, I mean, I'd be happy to come back up there. I mean. Although it's not so convenient from Orange County as it used to be from LA.
And you're a busy guy. I'm looking at you're in your office, and you got plenty of books and writing and things going on in your life. And I appreciate you taking the time. I guess Joel Kotkin, writer, columnist, author. The most recent book, The Coming of Neo-Feudalism, A Warning to the Global Middle Class. And circling back to our topic of California trying all sorts of legislation to boost housing with little effect, squeezing out the middle class. You mentioned people who were leaving, the demographics, the 30 to 50, making 100, 200,000 a year. I mean, you mentioned three states they can go to, but almost you can go almost anywhere except California and New York and live well.
Well, I think that the Pacific Northwest, which was and Colorado, which had been very attractive, are now no longer so attractive. Denver and Seattle and Portland all have negative net domestic migration now. And of course, they have both Portland and Seattle and Denver. All three downtowns are pretty awful, and having lots of problems. So where people are going, they're going, to places with a better business climate and where prices are lower.
And you mentioned Texas, Florida, and Arizona. Those are the primary exit strategies for
Yeah,
Californians.
depending on where you, yeah, I mean, there's some to Florida. We never had much migration to Florida. We're starting to see it for the first time. And then there's a lot of migration within California, people coming from the Bay Area from or Southern California and moving, let's say, to more sort of less costly places like the Inland Empire or parts of the Central Valley or some of the country as you go up towards Chico. I mean, so there is some movement within California as well. And we'll see what happens there. Although my sense, and again, I can't prove this, I would have to do more work, is a lot of that movement, particularly towards places like Temecula and Palm Springs, is older people moving.
What about the political persuasion of people who are leaving? I think you wrote in an article that the state is heading towards its own socialist moment, like New York, who just elected a self-proclaimed socialist mayor. There's so much inequity and impoverishment in the state, and is anyone going to fix it? I mean, we had Republican governors, we had Arnold most recently. It doesn't seem to matter.
Well, I think that there were some. So I mean, an effective leader can make a difference. I mean, I think there were some positives that Pete Wilson had in Los Angeles. I think there were some very good things that Dick Reardon did. So I mean, it is possible. And I would argue that even in some ways, the first Jerry Brown and even the first term of Jerry's second go around was better. Newsom is, he's a chameleon, I think he, the good news is he's not a, he's such a political player, but he's not an ideologue. In the governor's race, if we elect an ideologue, boy, we're in big trouble because Newsom at least is smart, and he's smart enough to know that if he, let's say, increases taxes on the affluent, more of them are going to leave. If you boost up California corporate taxes, they're gonna, more companies are gonna leave. What really worries me is if in the next election we elect a hardcore progressive who's going to have to run in the primary as far left as they can, and then they'll win the general because the Republican Party of California is kind of a joke.
And the legislature, people have been unhappy. We're talking about building. My guest, Joel Kotkin, you can find him online. He's a writer, columnist, author, written books and columns and articles for major publications. We've got within a few blocks in the south coast of Santa Barbara County, they've got permits for about 4,000 units, which is like 25% almost of what's required by 2031. And they're plunking it right down in one area, downtown Paseo Nuevo, downtown Santa Barbara, want to put housing there. I mean, look, I'm all for housing, but dumping it like at La Cumbre Plaza. Replacing Macy's and Sears. And they, I mean, you can't drive there now. You're from the East Coast originally?
Yes.
Me too. And I remember driving in the city, and I remember the traffic, and it's so blessed, I feel so blessed to be here. But when I moved here in 77 to finish college, I remember saying, this place is so perfect. If I had to leave, if they said everyone who came 1977 and prior, I would leave to preserve this place. Now, after a few years, I stopped saying that. But, we just, there's no room. We're going to end up like what? Like New York?
Well, the problem I think you have in Santa Barbara is that there's not a lot of employment opportunities for young families. It's too expensive. What the planners and the Greens and the political class don't get is the average person by the time they're in their 30s wants to buy a house and get married and have a family. The state of California is now on the route that New York has been on, which is we're not really oriented to families. We're going to be a singles place. Now, under Bloomberg, it was rich singles. Now, maybe under Mondami, it'll be a little bit less, wealthier, less wealthy singles. But the reality is that the state is very, very difficult if you want to live a normal family life. I feel fortunate to have come to California in the 70s and been able to experience the expansion, relatively affordable housing. If I was 20 years younger, 30 years younger, I'd be on a plane to Texas, even though on so many levels, California is so much nicer and much more culturally comfortable for me than Texas is.
Right. Santa Barbara's saying the newlywed and the nearly dead. Have you heard that expression?
Yes. Yeah.
My guest, Joel Kotkin, a writer, columnist, and author. Do you see any? I mean, we've been talking about housing. I got in real estate in 1988, and they've been talking about housing. Finally, we got state water in Santa Barbara in the 90s. And finally, now the state is really stepping on the necks of local municipalities to get them to build these apartments now. But are they going to be affordable?
Well, not only are they going to be affordable, is that the problem we have? Do we not have enough apartments? If you look at what's happening nationally, multifamily is seriously overbuilt. It's not what it, it's not. There's always been a market for multifamily. There's the young person who's single. There's maybe an older couple who don't want to have a house. But most people, if you give them a choice, they want a single family house. And you
Exactly.
can't have a family in a one-bedroom apartment. Yes, my grandparents in New York in 1920s did it because they didn't know any better. But even when you look at what's happening with Latinos here in California, the new immigrant wave, the big immigrant wave, they overwhelmingly want single-family homes. And they're going to they're already moving to places like Texas and also to the Inland Empire and places like that. The bottom line is our political class and even a lot of our business leadership has a vision of California as if we're going to turn it into some sort of giant Manhattan. And the fact is that's not why people go there. Look, I'm a native New Yorker. I understand the appeal. Let me put it this way: downtown Los Angeles, much less downtown Santa Barbara, is never going to be Manhattan. It's never going to feel like Manhattan. It's never going to have the excitement of Manhattan. It's never going to have the cultural affairs of Manhattan. It's not going to have the legacy. Basically, that's just not remotely realistic. So what we do is we build these kind of faux downtowns, in let's say downtown LA, and they're not doing even downtown San Diego, which really has a lot more going for it, is not doing great. San Francisco has huge problems. And I don't even want to start with Oakland. So, I mean, the reality is the what we need to do in California is build housing, but build housing that people actually want and can afford. And you're not going to do that in the inner city unless you're going to underwrite massively this construction. And I don't know where that money comes from.
Well, and right now, how upside down is the state? I don't know how where the money's going to come from, as you say.
And what's remarkable is that it's upside down in the middle of a stock market boom where the biggest players have been California companies. If it wasn't, I have never seen California in a deficit during a stock market boom. And I think the big problem there is that that we have so many poor people. We've so expanded our welfare state. We're paying for medical care for the undocumented. We're pouring money into teacher and other pensions, even though they're doing a crappy job of education. I mean, not all their fault. The parents have a big part in this too. But the reality is California doesn't have the resources to finance remotely what its progressive legislators want to have.
Well, I tell you, in Santa Barbara, we just read today they're building a 35-unit complex for homeless, $31 million. I did the math. I thought, well, you take the $31 million, get 4% on it, you could pay each of them $35,000 a year. My guest is Joel Kotkin. Joel Kotkin, author, writer, columnist, a couple of great books you could find, The Coming of Neo-Feudalism, and before that, The Human City, Urbanism for the Rest of Us, nothing to do with Festivus. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. We'll take a quick break and talk with Joel some more. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.